complexities of today's world. Isabel Allende.
First of all, the press reported very little. I'm biased. Now, 30 years have passed. There's one or two generations that have never heard the name of Allende or never heard what happened in Chile. Only there are some people who are willing to remember, but most people don't. I remember when I wrote The House of the Spirits and I went in my first book tour, people asked me if I was related to Salvador Allende in Chile. Not now, nobody asks, because nobody even knows or remembers anything about Chile. They don't remember Lumumba, they don't remember Somoza, they don't remember Trujillo, they don't remember the Contras in Nicaragua, they don't remember any of that. We have a very short memory. And we also have very biased information.
I'm incurably optimistic. I always think there's a resurgence of hope everywhere. I mean, as long as one person shouts in the wilderness, I think there's hope.
Ariel Dorfman.
There has been an attempt at further democratization. The judicial system is no longer as corrupt and as dominated by proto-fascist elements as it used to be. Though income has not been redistributed in Chile, there used to be 45% of the people who were poor. Now it's closer to 25 to 27% of the population. That's a considerable thing in 10 to 12 years. Chile is, as so many other countries in Latin America have been in the last 20 years, very restricted in what it can do given the global situation, given the enormous amount of foreign debt that we have and the forms of global domination. There has been an enormous amount of concentration of wealth. And especially in Latin America, there has been an enormous amount of disempowerment of people at the economic, the social, and the political level. Because Latin America is now entering a very different phase in which the neoliberal policies that Pinochet, in fact, was the pioneer of, and that have now absolutely failed in Latin America, because these policies have not been able to solve the basic social and economic injustices of the majorities of Latin American citizens, you have a very, very strong possibility of a resurgence of hope all over Latin America. And it is in that context that I think that we may find some hope for some of the ideas that Allende had. Of course, very, very different ideas, but the ideas of social justice continue to remain very, very important.
Going back to my country after all these years, well, it's not an easy task.
René Castro.
Optimism about the new Chile, or the Chile we'll find today, is in a question. We need to have an optimism about how the country will resolve these social issues. And I don't think they're different than 30 years ago. They're the same issues. Housing, work, health, and education. With a few differences, because now we are more dependent of the United States, and we have more technicians and bureaucrats and engineers and doctors that have been educated in the United States, so they come back with the idea of this is what we need to do in Chile. So go to Chile and confront all of that and say, wait a minute, no, that's not the only option that we have in Latin America. It will be difficult for me, because probably at the first time I open my voice publicly, I will get a lot of people who will say, oh, René, you're talking about language on the past. This is different now. Now we respect the human rights. We put some generals in jail. Pinochet is sick, old, and dysfunctional, but is still free, never been punished for his crimes. So people will say that, and I need to be prepared for that, because I think the language is the same language, with a different color, but it's the same. So I'm going to go to live in a country who has a Pinochet constitution, running by a democratic coalition, central-left, that is in turmoil today. A country where the young people don't participate, but it's my country. It is my people.
I would tell a group of young people that it is important to look at history, not only the case of Chile, but many other cases, and realize that one of the strongest emotions in human beings is fear. And out of fear, we do the most awful things. We fear anybody who is from a different religion, a different color, a different language or culture. anybody who dresses differently. We even fear the homeless because they look different. Anything that is not exactly like we want it to be, we are scared of. And in the name of that fear, we become very self-righteous and we start doing awful things to others, the things that we would never want anybody to do to us or our families. And I think that that is why it's so important for young people to be aware of history, to see that what happened before will happen again unless we stop it. I do not think that there is any nation in the world that is free of the possibility of something happening like what happened in Germany or in Chile or in Brazil or in France. The United States is potentially a very fascist country. It's a country where there is a large number of people who are self-righteous, have weapons, and who are willing to use those weapons to defend what they think is the truth. And they're not ready to hear anybody else's truth. And this is how fascism starts everywhere. It's usually a popular national movement that doesn't allow any space for dissidents. And so I'm always very skeptical and very, very afraid when I see that happening. But I don't want to be one of the ones that are afraid. I don't want to allow fear to stop me from having this.
I would do is I would tell them stories.
Ariel Dorfman explains the Chilean experience to those new to this history.
I would tell them stories about the Chilean people. I would tell them stories about people who had never been given the chance to speak and found a chance to speak. I would tell them stories about the landless peasants who had been left outside history, who had been only in history as laborers. I would tell them stories about women who never had kindergartens in their shanty towns. I would tell stories about how people began to read books because books became enormously popular and cheap to read. I would tell stories about what it meant to watch people come out of the poorest areas of Santiago and dance in the streets and say, we did all of this and we did it without hurting anybody, without threatening anybody. In such a way that the result was those people ended up being horribly repressed, tortured, exiled, and sent to jail. And that this is my story. My story is a story also where, because I was part of that experience, because I dared to speak and stand at their side, I also suffered, had many of my friends disappeared, many of my friends dead. And yet, you do not kill history in these ways, as Salvador Allende said. I don't speak to them about Salvador Allende. So I would say to those young, be wary of the fact that today your government, if I'm talking to young American kids, is making the same mistakes that governments like that of Nixon in the past did in relation to Chile. And that they should read history, because if you do not understand what you did in the past, then you can understand what you need to do in the future.
You've been listening to Chile, Promise of Freedom, produced by the Freedom Archives and our great crew. Isabel Alegría, Daniel del Solar, Kim Davis, Andres Alegría, Maria Alegría, Claude Marx, and Lina Serrano. We also had help from Cabal Smith of Campus Radio at Duke University and Cristiano Paso in Chile, as well as the generous support of the Paul Robeson Fund. Thanks also to our main participants, Isabel Allende, René Castro, Ariel Dorfman, Isabel Letelier, and Joan Hada. Historical materials are from the collection of the Freedom Archives. Thanks for listening.
El derecho de vivir.